Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, welcome to our Season 5, Episode 4.
Ding dong, Olymp is dead. Just like this joke. It popped into my head today, and that's all I got. We could also say the title was Ain't Nobody Got Gime for That. Meaning, I didn't have time to come up with the title. Or more like, didn't have gime to come up with the title. Look, I worked really hard to try to come up with a Kiwami pun, and I couldn't do it.
The what is dead?
Lymph, because they're the lymph race, like lymph nodes.
I thought you said limp.
Limp, the limp is dead. Well, he did have a limp, which is now gone.
So why are they limps?
Did that go up on the microphone? Can anybody hear that?
I don't get it. Why are they limps?
That's their race. That's the name. Before they were overlords. The limp race.
It's the weird, like, scrambled name that,
Okay.
Shit, blanking on name, Aesir Subs gave to them. It's not the actual, like...
That's what I call them. They're the lymph node race. They were a race of lymph node people that, like, really got really bad sinus infections a lot. I don't know what. That's what led to their true downfall.
I don't think I've ever been more upset in my life.
Oh, don't worry. I'll get you more upset later. Well, one up.
Yeah. Today, actually, I got a CS Toys box with Police Russia, Fire Russia, Duke, and those two Lockseed swings.
I'm picturing a swing set
in my yard.
No. It's like a tire swing, but it's a giant Lockseed.
That would actually be legit cool.
That would be awesome.
Powerless Suica one, and then the broken Himawari, those little keychain ones. I actually found out that if you have a Gashapon or candy toy Lockseed, you can replace the front flaps, so you can actually make a full Lockseed out of it. So I might try to do those if I can find copies of those. If not, I'll just leave them as the swings. It's not that big of a deal.
Just swing on it.
Like in Japan. The keychain. Get over it.
Swing.
What else did I... Yeah, dude. I haven't done a whole lot of buying stuff. I've got a HLJ box coming that has a bunch of like sale items in it. Amiami Oki box should get here in a couple of days. A lot of... Next week's one-ups will be more exciting because I'll actually have all these toys. Right now, it's just kind of a boring waiting period. This is next week, the prequel.
Isn't that technically what it always is? Because
logic.
Gaim?
Yes, because Gaim.
Oh, God.
I rearranged my den and it looks really cool. It's a mess because I haven't finished cleaning it, but I moved everything around and now there's more room and I'm happy. Cat suggested it. Hooray for her.
Shout out.
Shout out.
I don't
know. Other than that, just Mario Kart 8 all day every day. And 7, because I was bored.
Kat, who do you think you are? Cordelia?
Probably just look like you're crazy, because I highly doubt that's going to stay in.
Damn it.
Levelator strikes again.
It's the dog all over again.
go ahead.
Okay. Purchase-wise, I haven't been up to much. My Dragon Zord arrived yesterday. And it did that thing that everyone else has been doing where it sits like 20 minutes away from my house for 2 days, just chilling. So that was kind of annoying.
That.
Like, it was 20 minutes away for 2 days, and, like, they switched it from UPS to the post office. It was
yeah,
done.
Yeah, that's a really stupid-ass way of doing it.
It is. Like, they just add an extra S to the service.
Because mine went from, it shipped from Columbus, maybe? It was really close. And it got to Livonia, which is about where my grandma lives, and that was 45 minutes away or so. And then from there, it went to Madison Heights, which is about 15 minutes away. And it sat there for 3 days. Because we had Sunday, and it didn't move. And then we had Memorial Day, and it didn't move. So it was just stuck here, just 15 minutes away from me. And I'm sitting here, like, on Saturday going, I could just go get it.
It's so dumb.
And it just aggravated me because I wanted to play with it so bad.
It's a really dumb system.
Toys R Us.
But that's pretty much it. I did fail at getting Kachidoki, and I got Booster instead, a.k.a. Aquaranger.
Turbo Man.
Brian alerted me to, whatchamacallit? Oh, yeah, Police and Fire Russia. Although I have to tell them to separate my box, because they got, like, a Candy Toy Lockseed set in there that comes out at the end of this month. So I'm okay with, like, a couple of the early June things delaying it for me so I could get those, but I need to separate them. Just so you know. But this week, I have spent starting MMPR. It's been pretty terrible. It's like watching garbage roll across your screen, except that was probably more entertaining.
If he's not here next week, he killed himself.
Yeah, but that's just any week. And alongside that, I've been continuing to watch Scandal, which is really, really good. And, like, it's like a part political show, so, like, whenever the vice president and president are talking, I can't help but think about Winston from New Girl on how he believed that all vice presidents and presidents were best friends. Like, it's just really funny because they're, like, constantly sort of backstabbing each other, and I'm just thinking, like, poor Winston. He would never want to see this. But yeah, I've just been watching Scandal and Mighty Morphin, and video game-wise, I've actually been playing a little bit of Saints Row the Third, because it was on Games for Gold last month, and it's actually pretty fun. That's pretty much it.
I'm watching Gaim.
Right now, literally. Watching Gaim.
Yeah. Right now. I got bored, so I started an episode.
I see how it is. My story about my Netflix watching and Dragonzort waiting was thrilling.
I'm sorry.
But bless you.
My god, a tiny mouse just snosed? Snosed.
It snosed.
It's a new thing. It's gonna be a thing.
That's a word.
Is that it? Is that like the up to date one ups?
Yeah. I don't have anything else.
Damn, no thrilling stories this week. Nothing on the edge of our
seats. We never have stories.
Except those times where you casually mention, like, Jason Bourne-like stories. Okay, I'm exaggerating it, but it sounds...
Jason Bourne-like stories?
Like that time he ate ice cream and watched a building burn. Jason Bourne would probably do that. You know,
he's eating a baby and watching the building
burn. He's eating the ice cream off the baby, get it right.
Well, no, I was eating the baby... after carrying the ice cream into the burning building.
I'm so confused. Why would you do that to the innocent ice cream? Take the baby in, sure, but ice cream is delicious.
Well.
Oh, I'm just upset. Just don't tell me what flavor it was.
Ow.
Oh, sorry.
I just hit my knee on the desk.
He was having such a good time, he couldn't contain himself. And then he hit his knee.
He was having such a good game.
He took a desk to the knee.
Damn. Oh.
Because you're watching Gaim, it's funny.
It's funnier when you're watching Gaim. Fact, Gaim puns are 30% funnier when you're watching Gaim.
That is definitely fact.
Oh my god.
If Verisol's not here next week, he comes home. This podcast is turning into a suicide pact.
You know, that's right.
Speaking of right.
Well, that would be a great I guess it is Tokyo News. That is a good transition. So, Tokyuger blew up the news with its display of mediocre headlines. Mediocre? I'll stop now. Yeah, it's going to be a thing. Don't look. Let me talk. You let me talk for too long.
You're mediocre.
I'm like Jerry. If you shine the spotlight on me for too long, I just start melting down.
Dawson sucks dick.
Classic Pylo.
Actually, Kevin's just in time to do his one-ups.
Go for it, buddy.
Well, I got, my AC Jim McGuire and Duke today.
Duke's cool.
Duke Silver. What? Yes. Brian, like,
an arm change Duke Silver. Just comes with the hat and the saxophone. That would be amazing. It would be like sex in a figure.
I am sex in a figure.
And, like, the hair. You could have any of your arm change figure wearing Ron Swanson hair.
So I got that, and I got my Gokaiger book came with it. That's a thing. I don't think there's anything else, really. Let's see, I got all that. No, I've just been playing Yoshi. Finishing that.
Yoshi!
What? What?
That was an echo. He's doing this from a parking garage.
Yes.
I watched the Forza movie recently, finally. That was weird.
Which one was that?
That's the one where he made friends with a machine.
That was normal fusion states, right?
That was normal fusion states.
Wasn't the one where they blew up the car for no reason?
No.
That was the best one. Ryan, like, and I were like losing our minds because you just like start shooting a car. I'm like, that was an innocent SUV. It wasn't an innocent car chase.
That was not a Chico Fusion States, I think. That was that movie. Ultimatum.
I like how the Wizard movie just came out and Kevin comes on and he's like, just watched Forza movie.
Especially considering how long it took him to do the Wizard movie.
I'm trying to sit there and catch up on a lot of these movies and stuff. I just haven't, I've watched a lot of these movies that have been coming out, so I'm trying to catch up on all that crap. I love how, like, the Forza show is just fucking awful, especially his use of abilities and powers. And then he gets to the movie, and he's really good at, like, mixing and matching the switches and form changing and all this other shit. Like, and like, why can't you done this on the show for 50 episodes?
Yeah, why can't you done this? I didn't even got that.
Shut up. You know what I mean. But yeah, so that's what I've been doing. Just trying to clear shit off my computer. Sitting here chilling. Chilling like a villain.
Speaking of chilling, news.
Because we're
not
so
as good
cool.
as the previous transition.
Because we're so chillax when we do the news. We bring it to you like cool cats. I don't know where I'm going. Stop me.
I'm chillax when Dawson sucks dick.
I would be pretty tense if that was happening.
Not even yours. Like, specifically,
anyone at all.
Any generic one.
I do not partake in the
conversation. Dawson's, like, halfway across the country, happens to be sucking some dude's dick, and Kevin's just, like, instantly, like, man, I feel so relaxed right now.
Exactly.
Okay, so as Dawson was saying before, Kevin finally poofed.
He's like a fairy. Fairies! Sorry.
We have bits and pieces of a Tokyuger catalog. I don't know if this is a full catalog or just kind of like a... We finally have toy pictures of the shit catalog.
It's a catalog. It's just like Hamlet.
But one is toy pictures of the platform spinny bazooka thingy. It's got a name. What is it? I don't know. Daikai
Ten Cannon.
Daikai Ten
Cannon, yeah.
That guy was already made, idiots. And platform was already in Deno. They're running out of ideas.
Includes the Hyper Resha, which you, when used in the Tokyo Changer, gives at least Ichigo. As far as I know, there's sounds for all of them in the Tokyo Changer, so it's probably going to be one of those things where it gets like flopped Super around Samurai like Shinkenders. But that gives them a golden
really shitty power up
choo-choo on their shoulders.
It's really boring.
Like they go ahead.
No, I was just going to say they just like shove a train over top their heads.
Yes. Like, I like it because I like trains, and I think it's kind of neat, but it's so boring. Like, I was expecting so much out of Tokuger's power-up, because the entire show's about, like, color and imagination. And well, it's like, here's a gold train!
And the thing is that the Tokuger suits are so basic that if they were going to do a power-up, I was kind of assuming they might take advantage of it. Kind of like with Geki's, although I think Geki's are a lot better than Tokuger's. But their suits were so basic that it allowed them to do something really cool for Jungle Master Mode or Super Geki Rangers. So I thought something like that was going to happen here, where they took advantage of it. And no, they just put a damn vest on it. What's the dork with the life preserver? Thinks he's going to drown. No? All right.
I was actually thinking about that earlier after I saw the pictures. I'm like, you could do so much with this. Like, even if it's just a little bit more, you could at least, I don't know, add train tracks around the limbs or something. There's more you could do with it.
Cue David Tennant.
I think it'd be awesome to see like a climax form a la... Oh, that's not how words work. like a form climax. Similar to climax form. Like, but it like slides the trains down the arms or something. I don't know, but...
They could do a rainbow form where it's all the colors of the rainbow. Because rainbows are what pants are made of. And then he has pants.
No, colors are what colors. Pants are made of. God.
Look, pants can be made out of whatever you want.
No.
But
what's wrong with you?
And, you know, to be honest, it's not like an annoyance. Because obviously it seems like it'll be a switching between characters. And it's not an annoyance at a red getting a power-up like last year. But I prefer when everyone gets the power-up. Instead of just having like a Super Samurai mode where they switch it up, like one per person, I enjoy the team power ups, even though they would all be boring together if they had this one.
This is really fucking boring.
Still,
like I hate being so conflicted because of trains. I kind of like it, but it's so boring. I'm disappointed.
Well, it fits the show.
That's true. That kind of describes the show. What?
No, that's basically my rebuttal. Well,
okay. Premium Bandai is...
They're doing a ticket raffle, literally.
Oh, God.
You can enter...
Enter.
Premium Bandai does this thing where they think it's cool for them to put up toys that you kind of want, and then go, this is a raffle item. We will raffle away a chance to buy this. Japan does this for everything. It's really stupid.
It's like the Turbo Man doll thing with the ball, and then he had to plop it out of the girl's mouth. True story.
I plop a lot of balls out of girls' mouths, so I understand. Well,
that's because you didn't have the prison break briefs, tea bags.
Yeah. Those prevent a lot of things.
That's a thing that no one will ever own, because when it hits Mandarake, it'll be like 5 billion yen. But in the spirit of stupid decisions, for Blade's 10th anniversary... Premium Bandai is like, here's that card archives again, but with a pretty binder is like, and more cards. And now I'm mad, because I want the pretty binder. I think I don't really care so much about the extra cards, because I think they're kind of stupid if these are the ones in the picture. Maybe, I don't know. But I do want the binder. It's nice. It's got the
board nice
logo
binder.
On it and stuff, and my cards
like
are just sitting in a stupid box. Ben.
Hello.
Hello.
Did everyone die, or is it just me?
Yes, you.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you're the only one that died. Nobody cared.
I heard Kevin talking, so I know not everyone died. So
Come in.
What?
I'm sorry. I was seeing if I was the only one that died. Sorry.
Come in.
Sister.
Your mother. Is that the response? Like, does it look one of those, you know, code things? Like, no? Alright. No.
We've got the other Super Mega Force titles. Rack is back, part one.
You know, that's
the
right.
Return of Rack and an evil-fied Robo Knight.
Yeah.
They should have called the second part of this episode hashtag Trouble Knight Reunited. It's going to be so romantic. Also, I believe there's going to be a flashback scene that showed that Robo Knight actually just got lost. And he came upon the Rangers and he's like, finally. And then he saw them palling around with Orion and he ran off jilted. And that's how he ended up with Rack. True story.
He felt replaced and was sad. He's like, after I took their clothes to the cleaners and everything.
Now I died.
Kevin's also next. Fine with that.
No, nope. Came back in. Kevin just can't like took their clothes to the cleaners.
They're killing us off one by one and then bringing us back. What's their end game? Who is they? Find out some of this and more. Never.
So that's 16, 17. And then 18 is Emperor Mavro.
I thought it was Marvo.
I don't care.
Marvelous.
Emperor Marv. He's just like, he's, you know, Home Alone. Marv! That guy.
I was thinking that.
That's you showing up.
So, basically, we get Vecker's defeat. Vrak comes back. He'll get killed, as far as I'm aware.
With Vrak
is back, motherfucker.
And then the Emperor will call and be like, oh, you killed my kids, and then he'll die.
I wonder who... Do we know, and I just don't remember who... What's that angry guy's name that had the monkey?
JDF?
Yes, Tabasco Sauce. What? Do we know his name yet, or if he's even going to be in it?
I don't think he... So far, we don't know if he's going to be in it.
Oh, okay.
If he is in it at all, I think it's just going to be as a monster of the day.
Yeah, that's what I assumed, but I couldn't remember if we heard if there was a name or anything.
That's upsetting.
He might end up being... Because I remember someone saying that he might just end up being like the messenger guy, where he's not a big deal.
I am a messenger.
Joe Sager, and then he's not a big deal here.
19's called The Wrath, and then 20 is obviously called Legendary Battle. Oh, can
we... Let me tell you something, Brian. You don't skim over the episode called The Wrath.
Let me tell you something, episode title. And in other smashing news, Shout Factory thought it was cool to release a Green with Evil DVD set for the casuals.
It's so JDF can fap to himself. Like, oh yeah, my own DVD set. Oh yeah.
You know that when that comes out, he's going to like take a picture of himself with it at the store, and then the caption will just read, Green. And
yeah.
Then yeah, or lol. He lols way too much. It's not healthy.
So yeah, that's a thing.
Like, I'm not sure why that's a thing.
People are all like, they should do this arc and this arc on DVD. I'm like, they released the whole season. Just buy it. You get all of the episodes. They're releasing it in like three different ways. You can get them as whole seasons, you can get a giant as fuck helmet, or you can get volumes. It's like, there's no reason for an even tinier version. The next thing, they're just going to release like 5-minute clips on DVD. How many different ways do you need to buy this?
Well, I mean, it's particularly funny because you're paying, like, this is like $12.99, I think, for the five episodes. Or you can pay $14.99 for the entire first part of season one.
It's not even worth it. I just watched Green with Evil, and it's like, it's seriously one of the most overrated, like, arcs in PR. But in the context of only season one, it's, like, amazing. Because nothing else happens. But in the context of rest of Power Rangers or television in general, it's terrible.
Give it up, Tommy. No way. All right, thanks.
No way.
You can only get the evil sword if you defeat these five putties. What? Why? He defeated five of them already.
Without power. Just these five putties.
You're going to cause him to have a fear of putties on the Island of Illusion later. There's too many. There's only like five of them. There's really small groups of putties in season one, and they like freak out over them.
Especially if you're David Yost.
Why was he climbing so high up that mountain?
Ooh, he was running away.
It was dumb. Why was he doing that? And then he backs himself right up to the edge. I'm like, my God, this is dumb.
Why? The world may never know.
So, they were the most least qualified people they could have chosen, seriously.
Yeah, well. We're getting vinyls of Schwartz and the Crows.
I completely forgot about that because the article I was looking at didn't have those.
Yeah, I just purchased them from Amiami.
Oh, thank you for telling me.
Yes. Well, I figured you were like, oh, I already saw that. I already got mine.
Quiet, Minkus.
That was on the other side of the school, over there. That was in the classes that teach you how to suck your own penis.
Until they had Farkle or whatever.
New Minkus.
But yeah, so it's the Darkliner collection. I don't know why we couldn't get villain vinyls for Kyoryuger, but whatever.
I want there to be a Darkliner collection that's just like their clothes. Like, it's just a clothing line of the weird stuff they wear.
So, I don't know if we're going to get, like, the other ones, like the Baron and the Madam Lady and
Praxis. Sorry.
The Fat Baby.
I want to find a little Greta.
You think really?
I told you, Brian, it's just a little purple and white ball.
Something about shoving it in my balls. I don't know. I meant pants.
You shove it in your pants and you'll
shove
finally
it in
have
my
a test.
Colors.
Yay.
We slipped back into the timeline without aerosol again. The timelines are bleeding together.
Honk, honk.
The timelines are bleeding together.
Well, we're doing that every episode. Honk, honk.
Brian's got a light blue streak in his hair. It's really bleeding together. I'm missing half of a hand. Kevin's half dead.
Yeah.
See?
I think it's time to move on.
Fucking JDF, man. Fucking JDF.
That's not what I meant.
No. So, let's talk about him for a second.
Oh, God damn it.
You tried aerosol, and I respect you for it. You almost crossed over the finish line, and then Kevin pushed you down like a bull.
I don't respect aerosol for anything. I'm still really confused.
Did
well,
he legally film footage of Godzilla today?
Did he? I mean, I believe he did that. I wouldn't put it past him. I meant this. I think I had something with his karate DVDs. Like, hey, buy my karate DVDs, and then people are like, oh my god, he's abusing Power Rangers or something. I don't understand how that's related, but I think I'm so confused. Like, I saw what I saw yesterday, and I tried asking Brian, and Brian couldn't give me a straight answer. Like,
well,
one minute.
Chris can't give you straight answers either. But
no. Chris can give me rainbow.
Boom, roasted.
Like, one minute I say, he's like, yeah, you can come buy my, like, Green Ranger, Power Ranger karate tapes. And then the next thing I see, people are like, oh my god, he's abusing the show that made him famous. I'm like, he abuses everything, but I don't understand what he did this time. So, like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Like, he probably has permission to do that. Just because it's on Shout Factory DVDs doesn't mean he doesn't have permission.
Because, well, the thing is, most copyrights last 10 years. You have to renew them. So, and the second thing is, those are technically his forms that he made. He made his own style of karate, so...
It's called the yeah style.
No, he JDF can do whatever he wants with them. I don't like really defending a psychopath, but this is one of those things I just don't see a problem with because that's his own intellectual property that he made. So unless he has a contract with Spawn stating you'll never ever use these two forms or whatever they are for anything ever again except for this one DVD or this one VHS tape put out in 1994. I just don't think he's abusing anything yet. I mean, he's crazy and still signing away his trash to give to people. But I don't think selling karate DVDs is evil.
Some people want that trash, though. I want that
trash. I mean, I guess the next thing you know, he's going to be like, the authentic used JDF toilet paper, and he just signs it.
Oh. One too far.
That's right, one too far. People just buy it. Oh, God, yeah, JDF. Here's my $10.
You said used toilet paper. I thought you meant like JDF brand toilet paper with like toilet paper with his face on it.
I can picture that. And then like one of the roll has his face, the next one just says Jesus didn't tap. The next one after that, Jesus didn't wipe.
Jesus didn't wipe. Jesus didn't wipe. Yeah.
That's the name of the toilet paper brand.
That's really creepy.
Oh my God, I can't even. Wow. That's a good segue into life.
Superhero time!
Oh.
That is what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
Alright, I'm making sure I didn't, like, fuck up again. So, Kyuja! Shiba Shinko!
Shiba Shinko. The Shiba house.
Fuck your mother.
Jesus!
Kamen Rider Gaim! Beat Riders! Just really wanted to do that. So that's the thing. That's fun. So, Tokyo's up to, what are we on, like 15? Grita did something, I think. I don't know. That was a hammer. It was hammer time on Tokyo this week. And that was a big, you know what that thing was? I figured out what it is. It's the gay love child of the Pillsbury Doughboy and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh, God, you were so close. Because I was just talking about this, and I said Pillsbury Doughboy and Jelly Green Giant.
Jelly Green Giant. Yeah.
Just because of, like, the like, green
little leaf thing, yeah. I didn't think of that, but yes, that. And the Jolly Green Giant probably spooched on him at some point.
I just love how Kevin comes in and says almost the exact same thing I said before the show. It's great. That's some scary shit.
That's the power of this podcast. It was okay. The Mikey kind of creeped me out a little bit. Mikey was a little bitch.
Yeah,
But outside of the kind of the overall plot of the episode being really stupid, I liked Mio's character moments because I thought they were actually pretty well done. But outside of that, like, the base plot of the episode was really boring. Like, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle the thing, the Mikey.
Like. Yeah, I mean, like, I like the whole thing of, like, whoa, you know, the Mio's holding back her imagination, like, and she really isn't as I guess, I don't know, as weak or as lacking as the others, and that's fine, you know, you just, you know, get more flashbacks about her and whatnot, but that thing was really creepy and really obnoxious, I don't know. It was kind of scary. Like, every time you told it to do something, it did the opposite. And I figured they'd have caught on eventually and did something about that, and then they kind of didn't. And then it just sat there and then was
like. He tried and it got confused.
Yeah, like, and they finally tried at the very end of the episode, and then he was like, wait, what? I don't know what to do now. Fuck it. And he just got itself killed. And then he was like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing. Whatever. But, yeah, I don't know.
I agree.
The preview for next week's shows the conductor and ticket holding the Apple changer, so that looks like fun.
I want that Tokyo Rokugo ticket to happen in the show.
Oh yeah, I just want that ticket. I want ticket. I like him.
You have to win the raffle.
Fuck the raffle. I'm just gonna go steal it.
You have to win the raffle ticket.
I don't want to do that. I want ticket, so I'm gonna go rape someone.
Okay.
And take it.
That's a surefire method of getting it.
It is. Look, that's what I heard from a reliable.
It's in the moon runes on the page.
It's the moon runes. You see, this is why you have to learn to read moon runes, Brian. And at the bottom of the thing, it says, if you rape someone, you automatically get one. So, you know Japan loves their rape. And especially if you use tentacles, bonus points.
That's how you win the raffle. It's with the tentacles.
Yeah. Tentacle rape.
And they're in me, so I should be set.
Exactly. Well, the other timeline you has it. I remember that timeline guy always has tentacles inside of him.
Always.
So.
Why did you sound like Bears or Yes, boss?
Yes. Yes, boss. So that's cool. How creepy was it when Greta, like, ate that Swartz projection? Like, I get
Wait,
it's what
she
wants.
What?
She ate it to get rid of it.
Like, I get it's what
like, she made it there, and she's like, no, you can't destroy it, and she just goes, and eats it.
Like Brian, simulating eating since 2008.
She unhooked her jaw and just ate Schwartz.
Oh, God.
Like, it was really creepy.
This show, man. This show.
Yeah, I don't know anymore.
I like how every time we get footage of like the villain base, it's pretty much just Greta staring at that fucking handkerchief. Like that's the only thing that happens there. Is a bitch at each
staring.
Other and Greta stares at the handkerchief. That's it.
Like that's seriously, they just sit there going, "Oh, you suck at making darkness." Oh yeah, well you suck at making darkness. Go fuck yourself. And that's pretty much all they do.
And then Zed's like, Kira, Kira! Like, we get it. You like the axe sword thing that I forget the name of.
Excalibur.
Is it really?
Yeah, Excalibur.
Oh! I was like, that's just the generic name of King Arthur's weapon. Okay.
Axe, not X.
Ask Caliber. I got it. The one who holds it can ask all the questions. It's the prize at the end of Ask FM.
It's a ask game. Caliber. There's an end of it. I hope it's soon. I can't deal anymore.
Luckily, that one guy's over on Kevin asking him questions. How's your day? Do you like oranges? What are oranges like? Apples? Like,
what's it like?
It's like the most random question. It reminds me of when Brian's mind fires off in the middle of the night after I leave a call, and I'll see 10 completely unrelated tweets from him within the span of 45 minutes, and then nothing. It's like you could tell he passed out, and then he reemerges on Twitter like 7 hours later. It's like funny. You can like track people's life on there.
Yeah. Well, you know it's funny to me, just the obnoxious nonsense I get, and then I try to find ways to incorporate your mother into as many of the answers as physically possible.
No.
You do a pretty good job, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I do. It's pretty fun. So yeah, that's why I put up with it. Just to find ways to incorporate your mother.
I feel like there's something better we could be talking about right now.
I think it starts with a G.
Damn it, I was trying to think of a different joke. Like something that starts with G that's really cool, but...
Godzilla.
Grab ass.
What?
No, is it not that? Gungans.
Go.
Giam. Giam, that new
Go
show.
Bots.
Gia? We could talk about Gia.
Grandma?
Grandma's Boy. That's a fun movie.
Okay, so I guess it's Gaim to start. So Gaim this week is the debut of Kiwami Arms, and I thought it was a really good episode. I especially enjoyed the No One Gets Inside moment, which I also tried to figure out an episode title around, and I couldn't get anything past No One Gets Inside. So it really wasn't working out.
Good job, Dawson.
But yeah, it was a good episode. It was really neat to see all the beat writers working together, because considering kind of like Aerosol was talking about, when you see that picture of all of the writers standing next to each other in the movie and thinking about how pretty much everybody in that lineup has backstabbed each other at one point, and just thinking about like how many different allegiances have happened and how often some of these people's storylines are separated, it was neat to see. But you know, it still kind of highlights for me that as like amazing as Gaiman is, how mishandled Bravo and Greedon were. Like, particularly Bravo, because with Greedon, you hardly see him at all, but at least we knew he was in the city, and it just kind of like, okay, he showed up. But Bravo, every time we leave him, we don't get an explanation of where he was last when we saw him and how he ended up now. Like, last we saw him, he was helping out Gaiman Zangetsu right around when they became friends, and then we never saw him again until now.
Well, so they threw him through the Yggdrasil's crack.
Oh. Sorry. But it's like, I just wish that, and it seemed like he knew what was going on and he was helping, so it just, I don't know, it seems strange. I wish they were handled a little bit better in their appearances. I get why Ryuki killed some of their writers off so quickly, because they just can't possibly manage that many people.
It sometimes feels like there's just a whole different story going on with the two of them off screen, and yeah, you just don't get to see it.
But, you know, it's in particular with Greedon for me, because they said that in the interview that people were going to like him and he's going to do something awesome, and he really hasn't done anything. I don't know, but I thought that I just highlighted that. But nonetheless, it was still neat to see them fighting. Go ahead. I'm talking.
I was going to say during those scenes, it was really cool to see Kaido sort of step up and take charge and
kind of lead the group.
Really like guide them. It was really cool. Like
it was awesome.
He's so antisocial all the time that you never really get to see him be a leader as much as you know you probably should. So it was really cool.
And Marika took notice of it. And I was going to mention that it's kind of interesting to see where she goes from here, because Ryoma essentially was like, toodles, you'd host a podcast by yourself, and left. And so it's kind of interesting where she could possibly be left, because she was kind of, you know, an order taker. So that means waitress. No, that joke fell flat. Somebody else pick it up. Not the joke, just the conversation.
I agree with the Kaito bit. I thought that was really cool, because he never really did that. He was always so solo, and it's really cool to see him take like a general's role.
Kicking it Han style,
even though like Kota is just gonna like come up and just be the leader. But it was fun while it lasted. But yeah, that was really cool, and I'm pretty sure Yoko just pretty much wants to fuck him right there.
I never noticed how hot he is. She's attracted to people in lemon armor. She was eyeing Kocha when he was Jinba Lemon for a little bit, and then she switched over to Cherry. He's like, it's not so good.
Michi's over there. Michi's over there with Redaway being all buddy-buddy with him while they invade the fucking tower. Ryoma blasts off again. He's like, fuck this shit, I'm out of here.
I'm blasting off again! That doesn't seem like Ryoma's style. but obviously the main event was Kiwami.
That was so awesome.
Sagura giving him the Kiwami Foxy key, and he had to go through a force field to get it. Like, you can prove you can get it if you get through this like tough force field I put up.
I will get it. Yeah, got it.
Okay, so I'm a bit confused, as I usually am, and I rewatched the scene again, and so the Kiwami Lock Seed is the forbidden fruit, but then
it's a piece of it.
Okay. I was like, because he's like, you have to pass trials to get it. I'm like, but you're about to hand it to this bitch in like 3 seconds.
It's kind of like a seed. He had the forbidden fruit, and there was like a little dot in it, and they plucked the dot, and it turned into the
Okay.
Lomilaxied.
I was confused because is he gonna have to fight five putties and then he gets full power?
It's from what I understand, it's sort of Roshuo's way of testing to see whether or not Sagara's, putting all of that stock into humanity is, good or not,
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll think of it more like an apple slice. Like he just cut a slice off of it. Okay, so I was confused about that.
Or just did take the seed idea I already planted in
front of you. I like the slice better because it's
Ryan
more
already
delicious.
Planted the seeds. Of
I, planted the, yeah. I planted the seeds. Why didn't you take them?
But anyway, okay, so I understand that now. Coda's like whole entrance was pretty badass, running in slow motion. I'm sure he brought a boombox with epic music playing in the background. And the first Kiwami fight was pretty cool.
Like, I love watching him swap between weapons and, like, do different things. It was really neat. And then they're sitting there watching him, like, holy shit, he's using our weapons better than we do. God damn it. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's funny, because it looks like some stuff is going to start happening next week with Michi, but, like, nobody... I mean, Kota just showed up, and obviously his priority was fighting the Overlord. But nobody seemed to notice that Michi wasn't there. I guess Baron understands why, but it does seem strange. Like, I can imagine Coda probably thought that was strange. Like, Michi's never rare. Just replace the song Daddy Wasn't There from Austin Powers with Michi.
Michi wasn't there. But, yeah, I guess, he was busy fighting,
Well, I didn't expect him to be there. I'm just thinking what they were thinking, particularly Coda, because
Coda,
in his mind, he's still his friend, and he believes that Michi still wants to help people, and Michi's more about helping himself.
Well, I think Coda was busy fighting the Overlord to kind of notice that Michi wasn't there at first. He probably noticed afterwards, like, things over, like, hey, wait a minute. Let's get a head count. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think Michi's missing.
Here's my buddy.
Yeah.
He's not your buddy. Just warning you.
So something I thought that was kind of weird. Now the invests, they eat the fruit normally, right? Like they.
I assumed so since they've already transformed.
So, it seemed a little odd that the Mushu would, like, transform further just by eating the fruit, unless it's like somehow mutated by entering our world, but I don't know. It just seemed weird that he would get the like spiky shoulder pads.
Yeah, it does. Unless like they don't eat the fruit in the forest because they don't need to anymore or something, and he decided to eat it now, and like obviously
he did eat a lot of it.
He did.
Maybe it's like a number count in his stomach, and like no matter how after a certain amount you eat, you upgrade. it's like an experience system, like an RPG, but you have to eat fruit. I don't know. But those other invest experience of similar things in the beginning of the series when they would eat stuff and turn giant and stuff like that.
Well, they would eat the lock seeds.
Oh yeah, that's true. Why didn't he just eat a lock seed? Then we wouldn't be talking about that. I didn't even think about that.
But yeah, I do like all the scenes with Sagara in them.
Sagara's so fun.
About how Coda like has to become an overlord to, to reach the power of an overlord.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the first time, but this time it felt really noticeable that Sagara has something planned. This was the first time where I was like, Sagara could easily turn out to be the villain, the end. Whereas before, he seemed so helpful that you even though
like
he wasn't
serious,
he
had a big smile on his face.
Gave you that vibe. But this time around, like he even mentioned, I've got a stake in your fight as well, or something like that.
Yeah, he did. His demeanor was very different. Because he did seem a lot friendlier before, and in this one he did seem a bit more. I'm trying to think the right word. I want to say mischievous, because then it makes it sound like he's like running around giggling like a Joker. But more calculated, I guess.
Yeah, and he does mention that him giving the Kiwami to Coda, it benefits him as well. It's like, I'll have my own reasons for doing this that'll benefit me, so take this and go fuck some shit up.
And, something I was thinking about, which was, there was people complaining about how all of Coda's power-ups get handed to him, but I really don't think any writers have really earned their power-ups. Sometimes Fize just finds his or gets mailed to him. But I like how with every power-up, we've mentioned it before, but it's accompanied by some sort of breakthrough or resolution, and like the next step for Coda as a character. Like with Jimba, it was like his resolution to protect people with his powers, and Kachidoki, it was his resolution to move past Yuya's death and fight no matter what. And this one, it's a resolution that no matter the risks of becoming an overlord and stepping into this. Well, the next step is, no matter what the risks are, he has to do it in order to protect people. And I don't know, I just like how it's kind of, it's like a level up, essentially. And I like how it sort of accompanies, like, his next goal. Yep. That's what I thought.
And then right away wants to take over Las Vegas. So I need the lights and the shining. I'm like, what? It's like, I want to take over the Vegas Strip, and I'm like, oh, okay.
I have no idea what we're talking about now.
When he's talking to Michi, and he's like, this forest is boring. I need a place with lights and noise. And they show you, it's like Tokyo or Vegas or something like that. I'm like, oh, okay. That's what first came to mind, is like just the bustling city and penis, I don't know. Okay. Every corner, just penis everywhere.
I'm just so confused. I'm sitting here talking about Coda, all of a sudden you're like, hey, Vegas. I'm like, what?
Yes. You know what I was thinking about? Mai, not like our Mai, like other Mai.
Darkest timeline, almost darkest timeline Mai.
90s Mai?
There's all these versions of Mai now.
The one in the show with the white outfit.
You know who you're talking about. I call her Mai. Almost darkest timeline because she's got different hair.
Because, we talked a little bit last week about the comparison between the overlords and the other characters, like the writers. What if she is like literally like other Mai? Like, she's the chick in the coffin that Roshuo is trying to bring back, or that he's like pining over. And that's why she, goes to them and says, like, if you start, like, she's some kind of a spirit of something, and says, you start down this path, you're getting, your fate is decided.
Real Mai's gonna get locked in a coffin soon.
Sweet.
They're gonna switch places. It's gonna be like the Parent Trap, but like, I don't know.
Just stop.
I'm sorry.
It's like Freaky Friday.
What if like they're all just, they're like a Ventaro world, and like their lymph race or whatever is an alternate Earth with pottery, and it turns out that Roshuo used to look like Coda. And
you really are all about this pottery, aren't you?
Yes, and the green guy, whose name I don't know, it looks like Michi before he mutated.
Red Eye.
Red Eye?
What? And I'm just going to call him Green. That's easier.
And then there's those two other overlords or whatever those things are that they say are overlords, and then what, like, what if those are like Greedon and Bravo or something? I don't know, because these have comparisons to the other ones, like Baron and Ryujin and Gaim. So maybe those have comparisons to the other beat writers.
Well, the one coming up that's a peacock is clearly Bravo.
Yes. It could very well just be a visual representation.
It has to be Bravo.
And sort of just a comparison for, like the kind of like how they're comparing the way that the two races reacted to the invasion. But it'd be interesting if they were just parallel worlds and they were like the same people. That would make Mai make sense.
Yeah.
They just never found anything past pottery.
I think what's so interesting right now is there's no clear indication on what we're going to be up against in the finale of the show.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, Saguro's ambitions right now could easily make him the final villain. You've got Roshuo, who could potentially be a final villain, though that seems kind of unlikely to me. But
Ryoma?
You've got Ryoma. No one mentioned this yet. Ryoma fucking blasted off.
We did. I said he's blasting off again.
He was just all... I don't listen when you speak. He...
I feel so loved here.
I was playing with toys.
Michi could be a final villain,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Michi is partnering up with Rediway, so...
Right away? That's his new name.
He can turn before you. So who knows what they're gonna try to do. So you've got that group, you've got Roshuo, you've got Sagara. Anything else? Kota? Crazy and try to kill people? I don't know.
I think Cid's going to make a glorious comeback.
Okay.
He's going to regenerate from the hat somehow. When was it right away that took the hat? I was expecting to put it on.
Yeah, he took the hat and he didn't put it on. I was so pissed.
It would have been amazing. Like, I want him to go around the rest of the series.
It's a girl,
with the hat
actually.
Is it?
That's what I heard. I heard right away it was a female.
Well, there goes my it's alternate Michi theory. Unless that's Michi's really female.
Well, might be. I don't know.
He could pass. I'm just saying.
But yeah, it didn't put the fucking hat on. I was so mad.
Like, I wonder why it took it. I'm like, what are you not even gonna put it on? He probably has lice.
He didn't want didn't want Takatora to have it. Cid barely has hair. How can he have lice?
Well, lice.
Brilliant rebuttal.
Lighting aperture.
But it was just, it was, I'm kind of curious what Ryoma's going to do, because he just blasted off and we didn't see anything from the rest of the episode. Like, did he land or is he in space?
I'm curious what he's going to do from here on out, because, like, Yggdrasil is being invaded by weeds. That's going to take a hell of a weed whacker. And, you know, Takatora's gone, and pretty much Yggdrasil's kind of in ruins at the moment, or at least, like, you know, sort of on hiatus. So I'm kind of curious, because he sort of took charge of all that, and all of his plans were there. I'm still looking forward to Takatora getting out of that sling. Like, come on. Like, the hike back's going to take a while.
Hanging out there, I'm like, run.
Like, there's so many things that could happen. Like you said, we don't know how the finale would go. We don't even know. Like, it could be a completely different game board within three episodes.
Yeah, that's, like, one of the cool things about Gaim, is that it's so unpredictable that everything can change at the drop of a hat.
Everybody's a leech. They're changing. It's like, you don't really know, you know, by the time the next episode ends, who's going to have switched sides to join up with who.
I like how when the Overlord was attacking and all the Kurokages were out, Zack was like, ha, finally, they'll know it wasn't the beat writers. And Baron's like, man, stop thinking so small. You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me.
Maybe they'll finally understand that the beat writers, just stop.
I like to imagine that that's, like, Zack's biggest conflict. Like you said, that Bravo and Greedo have their own stuff going on we're not seeing. He probably just, you know, goes through that same stuff we saw early on with him defending people and then them throwing tomatoes at him. And, you know, meanwhile, there's all these larger conflicts going on.
How do I make the beat writers likable again? I don't know, Zack. Keep trying.
You just do what you do.
You'll get there one day.
You know, it is funny. I meant to mention this when I was talking about Bravo and Greedon, but I don't know exact airtime, but it feels like Knuckle has been around more than Bravo and Greedon, despite debuting later. Like, it seems like whenever we're back, you know, on Earth or whatever, and there's some sort of conflict, he's always there. And he hasn't gotten, like, an amazing amount of story or anything, but I feel like we see him more often, and then I remember he's actually a thing more often.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's had more screen time.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny considering he showed up, like, halfway through the show.
But he's the new leader of Team Baron.
Even though his name's Knuckle. Should have renamed it Team Knuckle.
Team Knuckles?
Yes.
They are red after all.
It works.
And Knuckle does punch, like Knuckles. Hence the name Knuckle. But there's similarities here. Zack is an echidna. That's basically my point here. What have we devolved into?
Really is the timeline without Aerosol. He even slowly faded away.
I know, right? He's dead. Oh, well.
He said faded.
It's because I started talking about Knuckles.
I like Knuckles.
Did it. He's going to send us a letter tomorrow talking about how he's upset that we talked about Knuckles and he needs time away from us. It's not me, it's you. Okay.
It's not Michi, it's you, yeah.
God damn it.
That brought him back. Just need a dumb pun and he can't even handle it anymore. But yeah, I'm looking forward to next week because it looks like maybe Michi might be outed as a little shit. They'll make him sit in the corner and wear a dunce cap.
I hope so.
Like, the payoff has got to be so good because it's been so long. I think I mentioned a while back that I was thinking it might not even happen to the last few episodes, but it has to happen because they're showing him fighting Zangetsu, and somebody said it's an imposter, and I got to know.
I think it was Bravo. Probably
Baron. Oh, I thought it was Baron. Well, I guess Baron doesn't care. He's like, he's not going to believe me. See, I could tell him anything. I guess Bravo would know because... He's got that huge crush on him.
Yeah. Look, that is not his ass.
Look at that. That's a flat Michi ass. Everyone know Michi's got a square ass. I don't know, but I didn't even think about that. That's actually a sort of a good way to represent it. I was going to say it's suspicious that he hasn't talked, but for the first while of Zangetsu's encounters with anybody, he barely spoke. Outside of a couple lines when he first beat the shit out of Coda.
If you were a failure and you will always be a failure. Failure?
Failure. You'll always be like a sailor.
I like how you failed saying the word failure.
Yeah, he does that.
Life is beautiful. Speaking of beautiful things,
now time for... Oh, wait, you guys...
Gotta do this.
I remembered it this week. I was awesome. Ready to go into ramble time for a second. I started sliding into ramble time, and I'm like, wait. Sorry. I'm too excited.
It was pretty stupid.
I really wanted to come in this week and be like, we finally got our tit budget back, but we could only afford, like, one tit, so...
How many tits can I buy with this much money? One and a half.
You gotta watch those.
One and a
expensive.
Half tits. yeah. So, this episode was basically like the worst kind of softcore porn in the history of the universe. It was really awful.
You can't really. Well, I guess there was sort of a love scene. I was going to say, you can't really even call it porn if there's no love scene, but I guess you could count what we saw, like, towards the end, a love scene, but I don't know.
It was all in his head anyway.
Basically, the whole plot of the episode was that this guy finds a naked girl on the sidewalk and takes her home and feeds her different, like, fish and bugs.
She
and
eats raw things.
She then, like, molts her skin and turns into a different naked girl. And then she just sort of does the same thing over again. And then at the end, it's revealed that he was the whore the whole time.
Like, I don't even get it. Like,
it's just a dumb twist for the sake of having a dumb twist.
Like, he's like, oh, I'm... molting and everything. Oh, beautiful women and sexy time and whatever. And, like, meanwhile, what's actually happening is he's a horror and he's basically just, like, eating the insides of these girls that he's abducting, basically.
Yeah.
And then his male friend. So, he obviously he had a fling here or there. But, like, like, what was actually happening during this? Like, I don't know. It was really
not
stupid.
A lot. It really wasn't a very good episode.
It was probably one of the worst Garo episodes I've watched.
Yeah. Like,
which is all of them, but
I mean the garden episode that we had earlier this season was bad and it kind of annoyed me, but this one just there's like no merit to it unless you really like unless the only value you're going to find in it is that you can see like semi-nude women and that's it. Like, it's not even good nudity, and I know that sounds weird, but for an episode that has a character that in a series that has not shied away from nudity, mind you, if it's going to have a character that is completely nude the entire time, it seems weird that you wouldn't show anything.
Well, we do that. And we have a character that's always nude and doesn't show anything.
So that's it me. Just so it just feels like part of the episode was really focusing on the titillation of it, but it's not good titillation. Like
it's awful.
Yeah,
awful titillation.
And so the only other stuff happening in the show that actually includes our main characters is the fact that Mayuri finds a bug on a tree and decides to keep it.
And bugs.
Yeah. Like, it. There really wasn't anything going on this episode. And I know, I feel like we said the same thing last week, but even last week's episode had, like, some merits to it.
Yeah.
This one just. There's nothing here. There's nothing here.
Like, there wasn't a good story. There wasn't good boobs. There wasn't anything.
Wasn't even a good fight.
It wasn't. It lasted a whole, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah,
like they transformed the horror, growled a little bit, and then cut him down, and that was it. See, the train hates it.
I think the funniest scene was actually just the little credits roll, because they've been doing different things during the credits roll, and it was just. They come home and the bug that Mayuri caught was dead, and Gonza is drinking his sorrows away.
Gonza's the best. He really is.
Next week actually seems to focus on Gonza a little bit.
Yeah.
Which should be...
We either get backstory or what he does when he's not butlering.
Hopefully that turns out a little bit better, because it's actually focusing on a character that's part of the main cast.
Yeah.
And yeah, this just really wasn't a good episode, and there's nothing more than what we said about it to say.
There really isn't.
So I guess with that ends our Garo's corner, I guess is what we call it.
Turn straight. Because now it's time for ramble time. Ramblet time. Yeah.
Yay. I didn't know where to put the yeah. It just kept ramming. Yeah, I do that sometimes.
Okay. So, ramble time.
Get used to it.
Well, that was fun. Let's move on to the caption contest.
This week is jam-packed with all kinds of discussion. Like, the mega battles were cool, but nothing else happened, really.
That's okay. I liked watching Mega Evolution. Like, how that girl was like, Absol, but it's emo. Like, yeah. That explains Mega Absol.
This was more interesting than the actual show, but through the merit of the fact that it was just a bunch of really interesting battles, there wasn't a whole lot of substance to the episode.
Essentially right, though, because that's what's interesting about the anime itself is exactly. When they get to an interesting battle, like a gym leader or a rival. Speaking of, Ash doesn't have a rival this season, does he?
No.
Damn, he needs to get on that. Where's Paul 3.0? Like, why can't they just bring Paul back? Because this season we're allowed...
Did he have a rival in Black and White?
Yeah, Trip.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
Remember?
Yeah,
that's why I said 3.0.
My memory of Black and White basically consists of them island hopping. So...
I wish they'd bring Paul back, because he was his best rival. And in this season, they are allowed to acknowledge that Ash has a past. Like, for that whole, like, first, like, 80% of Black and White, they, like, very minimally referenced that Ash was a trainer before this. Because they wanted to give you the illusion he was just starting. So now, though, we can address it. So can't we bring Paul back? Because we don't need a new rival every region. Specifically one that's a rookie that's beating Ash out the gate. Stupid. Still mad about that.
There.
Just can't take it anymore. But that's literally like all that was on this week. I think Turtles is back for next week's podcast discussion, isn't it? So it's back this week. Maybe. I don't know. If it is back, the question is it air Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? I don't know anymore.
The answer is always yes.
Since we have nothing else to talk about, I have a completely random question. How does Zordon work? No, I'm kidding. We already addressed that. No, so I'm just curious about this because, you know, when I watch George live tweet our podcast, and I see other people talking about random things, they use the expression, "I am screaming." Now, does that mean you really just start screaming? Like, I'm not trying to be offensive.
We surprise them so much.
Like, I'm not trying to be offensive or anything, but I'm legit curious. Like, it's usually when something funny happens, and they'll say, "I am screaming." So, like, something funny happens, like Jesus didn't wipe, and then all of a sudden you're like, "Ah!" Like... That sounded like Majin Buu starting off Evil Buu. But, like, I'm curious. Like, what? Like, because when something funny happens, I'll just start laughing. I don't start screaming. That's when I'm scared. So, I got to know. So, please let us know. At the RR Podcast. Or any of our other Twitters. Or just write in, like,
we
a skywriting.
Twitter?
You know, our individual Twitters.
Yeah, okay. All of us are.
We should get a different RR Podcast Twitter for every timeline.
Oh, no.
Oh, that would be pretty funny, though.
It would. But... It would allow me to be 90s more often.
Fat beats. You just have to read all of Aerosol's tweets with a black scent. True sex. But yeah, there's really not much this week. It's pretty much just Ramblet time. The Hamlet of Ramble time. The Falling Skies will start soon, and Brian and I can talk about that. That'll be fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah is ruined. Thanks, JDF.
A lot of words are ruined nowadays to Toku. So.
I have no idea what he just said.
So a lot of words are ruined these days thanks to Toku.
Alright, yeah. All right, we're literally just evolving into sounds. Should
we
move on?
I don't know where I am right now. I'm stuck in a box. I'm scared.
Because now it's time for the RRR caption contest.
Oh, I should probably go to that.
So I'll go first. I like Peter Lee's. Oh, so that's what happens when Kogami ejaculates during his happy birthday song.
I've been wondering about that, too.
Though, honestly, I just feel like you go, happy birthday, and just like, just... This would just spew out of all crevices of his body.
Skeet, skeet, motherfucker. Sorry. Couldn't resist. I really like Trevor Weldon's. He shoved his key in my lock. I just thought it was appropriate with Kiwami this week and the expression on his face.
Lines yeah. So because I'm a horrifying person, Chanik says, what happens when Kota strokes Kaito's banana? Oh, yeah. Getting it done.
I lost track of which ones we were doing. Kiefer Martin, did you read Kiefer's yet?
No, no. I didn't.
Ursa just zoned out.
I don't know what's going on.
I completely forgot about Kiefer.
We're still in the one-ups, right? So this week I was at the Bromart.
Keffer Martin says, the horrifying reality of IC's party.
Yeah.
And that's it, man. This segment takes a whole minute.
Yeah.
Best segment ever.
I like this one here. Eric Beltran. Oh no, JDF came to my party. Why me? That's kind of the appropriate face you should make if that happens.
There's one answer where Dossum got referred to as Nosan. We couldn't figure it out until someone said that it's based on
puns. And then I'm like, I get it now. I'm cool with this.
Look, I'm counting out a penis, so I appreciate that.
I kind of like counting out of cookies, but... you like it too, Mimi, right?
Like, your driver is like a milk glass, and you dunk the different cookies in there for different forms.
Oh my god.
Right?
I like to think that Kamen Rider Penis is just Kevin using the peach energy lockseed. Because of the head. In it.
Yeah.
I can make jokes too.
I guess.
I don't get a driver. So I'm just a sad old man.
It doesn't mean they're going to be good.
You're just like a random curator that snuck his way.
Oh, man. Alright, so that about wraps it up. Now it's time for
Final Thingies! I have a thingy, it's not final.
Okay, so make sure that you keep an eye out for the next caption contest. It'll be read in 2 weeks. All that usual stuff. We forgot to check Twitter this week for questions, but maybe we'll do that next week, so send some in. Maybe we'll feel like in a question-answering mood next week.
There haven't been a lot to really answer, so
thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Send some in.
Yeah, we might do that next week, since Ramble Time is kind of lacking right now. They'll give us something to do. So send some in, or you're not a true friend. To be friend,
I'm not a true friend, so.
Expelliarmus.
Suck my dick.